Oscar Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Oscar Mike Radio is co-produced with Sense to One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, TNT Pen Company, Outright.ai, and my supporters, Caisson Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Forces Brands USA. Exchange one, be one, get a veteran-owned product today. And we're rolling right along. I hope your summer went well, and I have a different kind of nonprofit for you. Let me introduce my next guest, Micah Taylor, who's involved with Hire Heroes USA to Oscar Mike Radio. Micah, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great. I started learning about Hire Heroes USA and your mission and what you do. And to me, it still goes back to the basics. Veterans need jobs, they need housing, and they need a way to feel connected to their community. And jobs are a big part of that. So I'm interested in learning about all that you all do and how you do it. But, you know, there's a person behind all this, and you're involved very heavily. So I want to get to know who Micah is. Tell me, did you serve in the military?
Yeah, absolutely. So I served in the Air National Guard. I actually went through three different guard units, following my husband around, who is active duty. So that's unusual for guard members. And I retired back in 2021. It was awesome.
You loved it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I loved it. I come from a military family. So my mom is a retired command chief from the Montana Air National Guard. My sister is a commander over in the Air National Guard. And my father was an active duty captain and retired as well. So I'm the lowest ranking person out of my family. I retired as an E7. Still a wonderful journey.
Now, I got to ask, because I practiced shooting down aircraft in the Marine Corps. What aircraft did you platform? Did you work on? What did you do?
So I was an aircraft electrician, aircraft electrical environmental systems. And I started out on the F-16s, and then we actually transferred over to F-15s at the moment. So it was kind of crazy going from one smaller aircraft to, you know, that dual engine and just learning systems all over again. And then about the 10-year point, I thought, you know what, I want to try something different. And I transferred into education and training and became a unit education and training manager within the maintenance group. And it was wonderful. I love my journey with that.
I know the F-35s and the A-10 and the F-18s, they all get their time in the sun, Top Gun. But, and I'm a Marine saying this, but in air-to-air combat where force is needed, like now, mm-hmm. There is no other platform on the planet like the F-15.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And they're loud, too. Like, they're intimidating, right? Like,
we are coming for you one way or the other.
Yes.
And people don't understand. And I appreciate what that platform that's been around forever and how when I got nerd out here for a second. I'm sorry, ma'am. But when it seemed like when it went to the Air National Guard units, it actually got a chance to season a little bit and find mm-hmm. its way to what it is now. And I don't think that would happen if it had stayed in the Air Force as a frontline combat plane. It's really interesting how it all worked out.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and also, you know, Air National Guard people stay, right? They stay within their units. They come there, right? And they enlist and then they retire. So a lot of the seasons, you get to know your planes. You know, that you've got the crew dogs who are working on things, you got avionics, but we won't talk about them. You got the electricians, right? So you're able to go ahead and really know what aircraft does what. And it's like raising a child and then sending them on out, you know? So yeah, it's awesome. The Guard is amazing.
Awesome. 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 Love it. And I just, if I got to ask nothing else, I wanted to get that out of the way. And you did multiple things though in the Guard, kind of like a mm-hmm. lot of people, right? So did you like going from, you know, the F-16 to F-15 to your last rotation?
I did. So I grew up in really the mindset of just say yes, right? So my parents were very strict in my military upbringing, I guess is the way to put it. 8 o'clock bedtime, right? Even in high school. But they always said, just say yes and go figure it out. And so I was able to work many different smaller careers within my Guard unit through MPA tours, right? When the active duty goes off and they're like, all right, we need people to fill in, I was able to do that. So I worked from, you know, being on the flight line to being in the safety office to being over in security forces to go ahead and working logistics. I got to know so many career fields. I think that's helped me grow in my civilian career, just being able to speak to so many different service members about what they did and knowing that I had, you know, hands-on experience in most of those careers. It was great.
So you retired, you get out, and now you're doing something else, and we're going to talk about that now. Before we do, though, what was that transition out from being, you know, National Guard to the civilian life?
I think I benefited because I was able to step out a bit earlier. I'd been on so many different tours and orders. About the 2-year point, I decided to just stay back 2 years earlier from my retirement and really start my civilian career. I always say that the first year outside of the military, when you retire, it's very awkward. It's like, what do I do with my hands? Like if you're in a picture, it feels like that the first year, like, what am I doing with my life? But that second year gets really good. And I try to tell, you know, transitioning veterans, like you have something to look forward to. I got to know myself very well. And I feel like I was my best self about 2 years outside. I just, all that training came in. I was able to push it out in my teams, especially when I worked over at the USO in Okinawa when we were over there. And I just was solid in what I was doing. So that second year is really wonderful. But the first year is kind of weird and you're figuring it out and you hope you don't make mistakes and you're going to make a lot of them. And that's okay.
So we're talking about Hire Heroes USA, this organization that helps veterans with jobs. Kind of tell me how you got connected with them and then we'll dive deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was transferring into the civilian space, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I was good at. I knew I had said yes to pretty much anything anybody wanted and tried to figure it out, but I didn't do the hard work of figuring out what I was good at, what I had aptitude for and what I had interest in. And from there, I actually reached out to Hire Heroes USA based on a friend's recommendation. And they were wonderful. I met my career advisor, Shelly. She was absolutely great. And she said, you know what, Micah, I think you would fit very well in our organization. We have an opening coming up. Make sure you're on LinkedIn. And I hated LinkedIn at the time. I love it now. I was like, oh, okay, I'll do the work. And I just folded into a space of curiosity, not really passion. And that led me into my career with Hire Heroes. I had to leave due to my husband's PCS, you know, us leaving. And we went to Japan and I worked for the USO at USO Kadena and ran that and loved that job. That was amazing. And then we went over to Germany and I started working for the Department of Labor and then wound up running the TAP program with Military and Family Readiness at Ramstein. When the opportunity to came, you know, to come back, they had reached out, Hire Heroes. They're like, hey, come back to our team. And it was the ultimate like boomerang story. I'm like, all right, I'm back. And it was so wonderful. I was able to just jump back into things because I knew the mission and the people and still had a great community to go back to.
So let's talk about the mission of Hire Heroes USA, because there's a lot of job-based nonprofits and even paid organizations out there for veterans. Tell me what makes Hire Heroes USA so unique in this space.
I think what makes us unique is one, it's free, which is amazing. Two, you're able to get resume services. So we will help you build that resume, which is kind of a big barrier when you think of everything that you've done in the service and how do you translate those, you know, the skills. And the other part is we're personalized. We're not walking ahead of you on your journey. We're not going to walk behind you. We're really going to walk with you on this journey. And when we see you walk off path to the goals that you've set, we're going to bring you back in, right? We're going to have some tough conversations. We're going to say, what do you want to do with your career? Where do you see yourself? We're going to ask you the questions that sometimes can be hard to answer for yourself. We're going to make sure that you're building a meaningful career, not just a space where you feel like, well, I guess it's another job. It's a career that you are invested in, you know, and that's hard to figure out in the beginning.
Well, for sure. For sure. You get connected and you boomerang back, which I think really speaks to, you know, the relationship that you developed. What is it that the veteran should do when they get out? Because, you know, the resume is the barrier. Like I was a Hawk missile systems operator. I mean, that was kind of hard to translate into, you know, civilians.
Yes.
Right. But, you know, the other thing that I kind of want to dig into is I've had many veterans, Micah, tell me, hey, I drove a truck. I did electronic work. I did construction. I did, you know, project management and all that stuff. And I get to the civilian world and it's like, none of that matters. We don't care what you did. You don't have the, you know, CDL, sir. You don't have the green card. You don't have the PMP. You don't. But I'm like, how can you say that when they have, you know, 3, 5, 20 years of experience? And at that point, the veteran gets very frustrated and very jaded about the whole experience. So I guess, you know, one, do you see that a lot in what you do? And then two, is Hire Heroes USA aware of that? And how are you all dealing with that? So let's start with the first one. Do you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to acknowledge that when we see people, we see them kind of at their worst, right? We're not seeing the best of the best of their best moment, and they're on this high and everything is working. We're seeing them in a point where, man, I need a job. I need a career. I need purpose, and I need to give back. I also need income, because money is very important, right? It builds your life. So when we're seeing these people, it's important to look at that and recognize that. And our job is to build that foundation with them and work on, okay, I know what you don't want to do. Let's figure out what you do want to do, or ask them questions that involve a lot of coaching to help them think of ideas and move forward. And also to recognize that, hey, if you want to go from point A to point B, what do we need to do to get you there, right? What do you need to accomplish? What schools do you need to go to? What training program do you need? Do you need certifications? What pathways are there? And also recognizing that you are a veteran, you have experience, and you have really good things that you can bring into a workplace. So let's work with you to bring those out. Most of the time when I speak to veterans, I'm like, what did you do in the military? And they're like, well, I just did my job. You know, it's very common to hear that. And that's great. But let's talk about you in the I fashion, not the we fashion. Well, we did this. I want to know what you did, because I'm hiring you. So let's bring that in and make sure we're elevating. Conversations like that take time. It's not done in a one and done. What's nice is that we work with veterans, transitioning service members, spouses, all of that over time. And so over time, we're able to build those skills, because skills, you know, they have to be used over and over again, just like interviewing. You gotta do it over and over again to get really, really good. And we want to make sure that they are their best selves when they are speaking about themselves.
You speak about yourself, which is hard to do. like I don't like speaking about myself. It's really kind of ironic in a way. Mm-hmm. But you have to break through that hesitancy and do it. How do you all coach the veteran to start articulating their experiences in a way that helps them advocate for themselves?
Absolutely. So it starts with, what do you love to do? You know, and helping those open-ended questions, getting those answered. Well, I love that I had a mission. I love that I was able to connect with my peers. I love sitting in an office, or I can't sit in an office. I love being outdoors. And from there, you build on questions. Well, what did you love about this? Okay, tell me about the resources that you used. What was your greatest accomplishment? And you get veterans really thinking about who they were in the military, what they accomplished, and what they didn't like as well. I think that's just as important. Confidence comes from knowing yourself. And when you're in a transition state, it's kind of like your whole mindset is in flux, and you hope that you know who you are as a civilian, but you definitely know who you were in the military. And that in-between space can be very fuzzy. And our job is to provide that, you know, contrast and clarity to help build them up. So it's a lot of open-ended questions and coaching.
You go from working on aircraft to this part of your life. Mm-hmm. What was it, the time in the Air National Guard that helped you out, or was it working in Okinawa, in Ramstein, that really allowed you to understand the veteran mind and help them out?
Man, that's a great question. I think it's twofold. One, I did have a couple supervisors in the military that just I did not vibe with, right? And sometimes your worst supervision is like your best lesson, right? You just know what you don't want. And I felt very small, and I'm a giant person. I'm almost like, I'm 5'11", but I felt very small in a space that I should have felt good to grow. So I take it personal when, you know, transitioning service members also feel very small in a space that they should feel good in. So I try to step back with empathy and kindness and directness. I'm very direct. But it works. It works in this space. To help people grow, what I notice is that people don't advocate for themselves as they should. You know, they really don't speak about what they have done. And people are exciting. Veterans are talented people.
Yeah.
You know, they're talented and they're fun and they're great to hang out with. And I want to bring that out. But it was really starting early in the military and then seeing what people needed and just recognizing myself within that other person and knowing that I never want them to feel small in a space that they should feel good and confident.
It almost reminds me of what another Navy veteran who retired said. Your people, whether you're in the military, or the people that you're with, have to know you care about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It matters. It really does. Because if you're creating a safe space, then they can do the most humbling thing on the planet, which is ask questions, right? So there's psychological safety. And my master's was on, like my thesis was on team size and mental safety, right? And so the smaller the group, the better the questions, because you feel safe. You ever go to commander's call and you're like, wow, anybody have a question? Nobody asks anything because it's not safe to do it. But as counselors, or not counselors, but career advisors, if we're there and we're creating a safe space, good questions come out of it because they want to know the answer. So I think that's important to have that, you know, when we're speaking with them.
So let's play a little game here. Let's pretend like, you know, I'm Lance Corporal Schmuckatelli and I'm getting out of the Marine Corps as a terminal Lance, no fault of my own. And I crewed this radar system and I need a job. And I come to Higher Heroes USA because I was told, hey, you know, go to Higher Heroes USA. What happens when I go to the website and start the intake process? What's happening? Can you walk me through that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first part is you'll see this, say register here, and it's through a system called MyTrack. And through that, they're going to ask you about 26 different questions, right? What did you do? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to live? And you don't have to answer all of the questions, but the goal is to get your mind thinking, right? Plus, you do have to verify that you are a transitioning service member, veteran, or military spouse. And so from there, you're going to enter into a system, and about a week later, hopefully a week, it's been very busy, we're going to go ahead and assign you a career advisor. And you'll get an email that comes in and says, hey, I would love to schedule a time to talk with you. If nothing is scheduled, then they're going to call you because you reach out and you need help. And that movement, right, creates that motivation. So we want to continue with that movement. So we go ahead, we call you, and then I'm going to say, hey, how are you today? You know, how's your transition going? And I'm going to prep you on this call. Say, I'm going to ask you a lot of different questions. I want to really find out about you, about the barriers that you have, what you want to do in your life, you know, what you want to be when you grow up. And then I want to move from there and see how I can help and provide the right resources. A lot of questions that I ask are, what salary do you need? Not the salary that you want, not the salary that's going to make the world great for you. What's the salary that you need to live? And then let's build from there. What area are you going to? Because if you're going to go to New York City, that's going to be very different than going to Great Falls, Montana, which is where I'm from. you know, so the salary makes a difference. What are your goals? Do you want to run programs? Do you want to go ahead and run projects, which are different? What excites you and what are you curious about? And then I'm going to ask about your family life. Do you have kids, right? Because if you have a family to support, that's going to change your salary expectations.
Yeah.
You know, but if your spouse goes ahead and they are making $120,000 a year, that might also change the trajectory of what you can lean into and take risks. So there's a lot of conversations that happen. And then I'm going to say, okay, let's talk about the first thing. Let's work on that resume. And then I'm going to go ahead and look for different jobs. I'm going to see what I can do to support you. I'm going to find out what you need, whether it's, do you need to work on LinkedIn, which is really hard for veterans, right? Especially if you have a certain security clearance. They're like, don't get on social media. Don't do anything. But now all of the jobs and all of the connections and everything you need is on LinkedIn. Well, how do you do that? So let's see if we can help or find you a mentor. So there's many, many different paths that we have. And then I'm going to check up on you and I'm going to hold you accountable, which is a lot of it. It's not a one and done. It's continuous care. And I'm going to call you probably every month. Sometimes I call people every week. Depends on their financial situations.
So in addition to this, while I'm going through this process of finding a new career, are there any other, resources or services that run in parallel to the main offering?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of it can be tailored to what your specific need is. So we have pathways that are just for women veterans, especially as a woman veteran myself, either going through like perimenopausal, or maybe I want to stay home with my kids after I get out, and then I want to go back to work. A lot of it depends on that pathway, right, that I want to develop for the future version of me. Additionally, if you are a junior enlisted, that's going to look different than if you're retiring, because retirement comes with a certain kind of soft fallback on that income, but a junior enlisted may not have that. So what other income do you need? To include also, hey, military spouses, that's a whole separate game that we have, because the unemployment rate is so high, because remote work matters so much, especially if you're going overseas. So we want to make sure that we're specifying areas that you need to go to make sure you're the best version of yourself with that tailored experience.
I did want to ask about serving military spouses, because some places say they do it, but Hire Heroes USA makes it very clear in the website and their social media that, hey, we have a whole track just for military spouses. You kind of already answered those questions, so I won't get into all that, but I was curious, where did that direction come from? Because looking at how you structured your programs, that seemed to be a very intentful path you all took.
Oh, absolutely. So there is our great director of that, Kelly, whose first name is Kelly and last name is Kelly, and I love it. She is probably the best military spouse advocate that is out there, right? Out of every people everywhere, she is the best one. And she really saw how hard it was in order to go ahead and for military spouses to get a job, because there's so much stigma. Well, I don't want to hire you because you're going to leave. Oh, I don't want to hire you because your experience on your resume, jumps around. And sometimes you have to take the job that's available. This is not an economy where one income is going to do it. Both people probably need to work, especially if you are, a junior enlisted personnel.
Yeah.
So you're trying to go ahead and make all of that make sense. And so having a specific program, specific advocacy, and really just kind of BFFs, I guess is a good way to put it. Kelly is a friend to all military spouses, I guess is a good way. And she will sit with you on that path. She's not going to go behind you or in front of you. She's with you on that journey. And her team really do create this safe space of, man, I'm really struggling. I don't know what to do. That's okay. Hey, I'm highly educated. I still can't get a job. That's okay. Let's see what we can do. Also, military spouse, I think they came out with a new study. The suicide rate is extremely high. I think it's 1 in 8, and so employment, purpose, that has a lot to do with it on who you are and how you can support your service members. Because if home is good, then guess what? Service member is going to go out and do their job. But if home is bad, that is such a weird and horrible mental space to be in. So we want to take care of that.
For sure. In more ways than one. The other thing that comes across very clearly, and it's, you kind of already answered that, is serving female veterans. And again, I have to think that's intentful, because it's just now, I think, you and I have known that for quite some time, but a lot of people don't know that female veterans, women veterans, are the fastest growing segment of the veteran population, but the services haven't quite caught up. But again, it seems like Hire Heroes USA said, you know what, we're going to make sure that we address that right now from the get-go.
Absolutely. They definitely are on the front line of that. When I joined the electric shop, I was the first female ever. And I remember very clearly walking in, and there's a whole bunch of guard guys who had been there for, 2 decades. And they looked at me and they didn't know what to do with me. And I'm like, I'm just here to do my job. Please teach me. So now, through this progression and my mother being, the first female command chief that they have, like just learning all these lessons and then taking it back and saying, guess what? We see you, right? Hire Heroes sees you as not just a veteran, but a female veteran, right? A woman's veteran. And let's see what pathways matter for you and the journey that you're going to go on and what we can find you within that network, so you have camaraderie.
This is one side of the coin, but also there, you have to work with employers. And how does that work? Because every employer, of course, is different. Some employers are like, you know what, I'm all about this. Some employers are like, eh. Some employers just want to get the federal guideline, checkbox checked and don't care. Well, am I wrong?
No, you're so right. I'm laughing because it's very true.
So you have a lot to navigate there. How do you, as a program director manager, do that?
So a lot of what I do is education. You know, if employers don't reach out and say, what does it mean to hire transitioning service members, veterans and spouses, then they don't really, they're missing out. My goal is to educate them and say, don't look at social media. Don't think that every veteran has PTSD. Don't think that every military spouse is going to move. You know, let's figure out what works for you and what it means to hire veterans. And also, what's your onboarding program look like? Because it should be different for military veterans as they come in, right? It should be a very structured training program. I think most people, veteran or civilian, know that when you join an organization, you know within that first week whether you're going to stay or not based on onboarding. You know if you're going to quit, you're going to find something else, or you're like, man, I really love it here. And I love working with employers and saying, you know what can we do to get them to stay? How can we get them involved in your mission and your vision at your organization to really develop? Because I know how wonderful it's going to be to have them there. They're going to advocate. They're going to show up early. You know, that's kind of a big thing. They're going to make sure that they stay loyal, especially military spouses, because they want to make sure that when they move, maybe they can stay with your organization.
Yeah.
You know, so being flexible and being willing to, you know, take in that knowledge, being educated as far as what it means to hire is a really big deal. We also have a whole team over here at Hire Heroes USA who can talk with employers and help them develop those plans. So we're going to walk with employers as well.
Well, it just makes me curious because you have the U.S. Army Soldier for Life program. The Marine Corps was recently on the news about the fact that they're going to try to make their transition process align with civilian employers, which was earth shattering because, as you know, when I got out, it was like, here's your out, you're gone, don't come back.
Yep. Bye. Yep.
So is the military themselves recognizing that, you know what, if we make this better for the soldier, sailor, Marine, we're going to, you know, get that back when recruiting time comes over again? Because I think that's what was missed so often is, you're just done with me. And well, thanks, but I still want to serve. And I'm curious, you know, you've done this a long time and you're an E7, right? So you've had those conversations with, you know, your junior enlisted or even your junior officers about getting out. And I'm sure that colors everything you do.
It does. And I also think, you know, being over at Ramstein Air Force Base and being the transition, you know, assistance program manager, I saw a lot as people came in. I will say if I were to do anything, like as a service member, I would say start early, but start early halfway through your enlistment, if you could do anything. And think about who you are when you get out. Think about the future version of you, because if you do that, every step that you take, whether conscious or unconscious, will go ahead and lead you to there, right? If you really not just visualize, but you sit back and you go, you know what? I want to be an engineer. Well, what kind? Where at? And you really think ahead, your transition is going to be a lot better. You may have to pivot and people are made in the pivots, right? But you're going to go ahead and reach that goal that you need to. When I dealt with transitioning service members, a lot of them started too late. And then the panic sets in, right? And so as TAP program managers, we could only do so much until the day that you left. So the earlier you did, the better. But if someone, and normally, I hate to say it, but it started with supervision. Someone said, oh, you don't need to do TAP, even though congressionally you do. And then a few, you know, you get out in a couple of weeks, you're like, oh my gosh, I need my congressional requirement. And then you're rushing through CBTs. When you really had the opportunity to take classes, when you really had the opportunity to reach out to organizations like Hire Heroes USA early to make sure your transition was good, the more you are prepped, the better it's going to be. And I'm not saying it doesn't have obstacles, right? I'm not saying it's not, it's overwhelming, but it's less overwhelming the more you're prepped for it.
Well, just a different scenario here. Okay, I'm getting out. And then the sergeant major calls you in with a career jammer and says, hey, you know, if you stay in, we can give you a $20,000 to $40,000 bonus. What do you think about that?
And TAP is designed. Yeah. Oh, it's designed to be a retention tool. That is the point of TAP. Yes. It was designed for that. Kind of, I hate to say it, but kind of to scare you and to get you to stay in. And I have to say, sometimes it was a good decision. People stayed in. They didn't have the education that they needed for the goal of who they wanted to be. They didn't have a home to go to, right? Homelessness is very real. Yeah. They didn't have a job or an income. There was no place to go. And so staying in was the smartest decision they had, because they had a safe space, because they had income, you know, because they had a team and camaraderie and really other people to help kind of raise you, right, as you're growing. The whole point is to think early, right, and then to stay, man, do I want to stay? Is it worth it? Or does this align with who I want to be in 10 years? And if it doesn't align, then you need to make a different decision, and sometimes a hard decision. But that's why we're here, is to help you progress through that.
Hire Heroes USA has been around for a little while, and you served, you know, veterans all across the nation. I guess to someone looking at you new, not seeing you all for the first time, is how do you say that you measure your impact? How do you sit there and quantify the effectiveness of what Hire Heroes USA is doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's think big picture. Okay. Right? 200,000 veterans leave the service every year. That's 200,000 people who are like, you know what? I need a job. I need a company. I need a home. I need to care for my family. We as Hire Heroes, over our tenure, has actually created and helped 120,000 confirmed hires. So 120,000 people are back in the economy. They're supporting their families. They're going to college. They're making money. And then the businesses that are affected by that are also making money. So it trickles down to where, if you have a veteran who's working well, who has a job, right, and who's contributing, then guess what? They're going to help other veterans, because veterans help veterans, right? It's a built-in camaraderie. We may throw shade to each other, right? And that's okay. I believe in that good humor, not at work though, because it's gotten me in trouble. But other than that, it's good, because confirmed hires, helping people, makes them the best version of themselves. And that's our goal, is to get a meaningful career.
What's next for Hire Heroes USA?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Well, then the reason I ask is, in the civilian life, what I'm finding out from peers and colleagues is AI is disrupting everything. You know, there's a story about the guy using AI to write his resume, and then the placement agency had AI to detect his AI, and a lot of the interpersonal stuff is gone away with now. How do you all manage that with moving forward with what you're trying to do?
Yeah, good question, right? I think a lot of it depends. Humans need humans, I guess is a good way to put it. You know, you can ask AI for advice, but having a human, right? Another veteran, another spouse, another person walking with you allows a connectedness that AI is never going to have, because you feel like you have advocacy. When it comes to hiring on the back end, AI plays a part of it. Absolutely. That is the world that we're in. But our job is also to say, well, let's work on networking, right? Let's go to a job fair. Let's meet people. Here is my resume here. Let's go ahead and apply, but connect on LinkedIn and send out those emails and say, hey, I just applied for your job. Or let's work on mentorship and advocacy. We have an amazing mentorship program. Humans need humans to go ahead and survive and progress. AI is great if you can't think of anything, if you need help, but you have to know your resume. You have to know what you did, and you have to speak intelligently about what you've done, what resources you use, and what the outcome is. And our goal is to kind of guide you on that. If you can't speak well about what you've done, that is okay. We are going to coach you through that. But at the end of it, when you go for that interview, we want to make sure it counts. The goal is to get the interview, and then let's prep. And from the interview, let's get you the job. But you need help with negotiation. Let's help you that as well. You have to adapt to the world that you're in, but humans will always need humans.
May I ask you, winding this down, a more of a personal question, Micah? You come from a military family with two parents who served their country for a long time. You have military brothers and sisters. Do you have any children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 14-year-old.
Two-part question. What do you think your family sees when they see you working this way? And then for your child who's coming up in the world, and, you know, who, I don't know about your 14-year-old, but all three of mine knew everything. I was just, mm-hmm. you know, the old fuddy-duddy, dad, you're just not, right? You're just not smart enough.
Yeah.
But one thing I've found, maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't, is they might say that, but Micah, they watch everything we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think? So in the macro answer, if you will, I'm looking for an answer that says, what do you think your family feels or sees when they see you working in this space?
I think they are proud, you know, and I think my son sees, you know, what a servant heart that our family has. He can recite what Higher Heroes does as well. He knows it, but right. He's a very literal child, but it's a 14-year-old boy.
Right.
And very tall. He's like 6'2 at 14, but we raise him to look and have a servant heart within his community. And we raise him to say, you are one part of a big circle. And if you don't work, that circle breaks, right? We also raise him to have, we have him in a thing called gentleman training, right? So where he opens the doors, you know, and he's offering to carry bags. He stands when a lady walks in the room. We're raising him with really good manners because I never want to have an excuse like, I didn't raise you right. Now, when he hits 18, right, or he goes to college, whatever he does with that information is his responsibility.
Sure.
You know, we're going to do the best we can. And then whatever you do with it, that's great. But I want him to know that we worked hard. You know, he's a hard worker. I want him to know that if you want anything, you have to earn it, right? A good example is he wanted the new Nintendo Switch. I was like, I'm not going to buy you that. Your one works great. If you want it, you go earn it. And he did. He sold all of his Pokemon cards within like a week. He mowed lawns, but he owns that. And I want to respect that. He's an only child. And I need to know that he is dependent upon himself. And he is dependent upon his actions. And so he can set that path forward. Yeah. So I'm a tough mom. I am, but I want to make sure that he knows that he is responsible for who he is in this world. And he is part of this community.
Well, I mean, you could take your son and apply that to most of us veterans. We've got to take ownership of our future and our career. And yes, you're there to help your son. You're there to help the veteran, but still it's up to us to take the counsel and the wisdom and the advice and the resources and apply them. So, you know, it's not too much different, is it, Micah?
No, it's not. No, it's you. How do I put this? People are made in the pivot and you have to be able to pivot because no one is living a straight line in life, right?
No.
You have to adjust. And from the adjustments, you have to move forward. You know, sometimes I'll speak to veterans and they speak about their 4 years in the military and it had been 30 years and that was the best years of their life. And part of me steps back and go, but man, you have so much life in between. You know, what can we do to get you living again where these are your best years? You know, what can we do to pivot?
For sure. For sure. How can people connect with, you know, Higher Heroes USA to either, you know, look at this as a service provider or, you know, assist or help out where needed?
Yeah. So the best way is to actually go to our website, which is higherheroesusa.org. And you're going to see a spot there and it says, just go ahead and find out more or apply. And you come on in, fill out the information, and then go from there and we'll get a hold of you. And our calls are not spam calls. We promise we're calling.
It's a real person, not an AI.
Absolutely. I'm like, it's us. I promise. Sometimes I'll text and I'm like, it's me. I promise.
Well, Micah, I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing so candidly with me. I've learned a whole lot. I still say that of all the things out there, it really does start with Maslow. If you got a place to stay and a job, you're really on your way. So, I think it's interesting too how you served and now you're continuing to serve in a different way.
Yeah, it's there. I don't think it'll ever go away. Yeah,
nice.
I like it.
Nice. I will have the link to Higher Heroes USA in the Ask Micah Reno show post. I want to thank Micah again for coming on and talking with me. Micah, all the best to your future endeavors. And, you know, you have a welcome invitation to come back on and talk with me in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
It's Travis Ask Micah Radio. We're on the mission. We're on the move. And we'll see you next time.
Every generation, every sacrifice, our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action, and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister 1 production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.